Father, I just glorify you, and I thank you, Lord, for being our God, because in the times ahead, it looks like we're in some turbulent times ahead here, Lord, and I know that you have us in your hands. We ask for your protection upon us, Lord, and draw us near to you, Lord. Draw us near to you so that we can hear that voice of yours, Lord. When you want us to do something, that we'll do it immediately in obedience, Lord. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask for your anointing and your blessing upon the conference call tonight, that your will would be done tonight in this conference call and in this fellowship. And Father, I ask that you bless everybody here, Lord, with your presence, and fill us up with your Holy Spirit, Lord. I ask that in the name of Jesus. And Lord, just lead us, guide us, and direct us. And keep us on the right road, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. We have any prayer requests?
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I have a testimony slash update slash prayer request on the situation. So after we prayed this last Thursday on removing anxiety and giving us direction on what to do, the anxiety totally disappeared. And in terms of direction, the next day we got a few verses from the Bible that we would have to fight, but God is with us, so he'll help us win. And then when we were walking to the house from the church, a car was coming up, and a person waved. So we stopped and started talking to a friend in a car who's a real estate agent in the area. She was the original manager for the property and personally knows the owner. So we asked her to call the owner and ask if she was selling the house. And she said she would do that. So she called us the next day and says that the owner knows nothing about selling the house, and the management company would not even talk to her. So at this point, the owner is trying to get a lawyer to get an understanding of what is going on, and it looks like it is under the control of the trust. So maybe if we could pray over this situation too.
So does that mean you get to stay?
We don't even know, but we got some prayer requests answered on the direction. So some seems like someone's helping us at least. So this is great news for right now, but we don't know what's going on yet.
Okay. Yeah, we can pray. Father, we just thank you that it's in your hands, and Anna and Mia are resting, Lord. They know that it's in your hands, and Lord, we just ask for favor with whoever's involved, Lord, that they would get to stay, Lord, unless you have something better for them. And I thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, I ask that you give them wisdom and understanding to know what it is, what your will is, Lord, for them in Jesus' name. Lord, through dreams or visions or words, ever how you want to do it, Lord, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for bringing them through this with that trial of patience, and to not be anxious for anything, Lord, and to just wait and pray and seek you, Lord. And I thank you that you're doing that with both of them in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all believe that, Anna?
Yes.
All right, Mia. Yes. Mia, you believe that too, don't you?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jeff. Thank you so much.
Okay. Praise God. Everybody else believes it too. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, I'd like to pray for my neighbor. I talked to him today, and it's going on 2 years now. His wife left him, and they're divorced now. And he farms the ground that his wife actually inherited the ground. And he was in partnership with his father-in-law, and so now he ends up having to rent some of the ground from his ex-wife, and that's really creating quite a bit of problems. So I just like, he admitted today he's really struggling, so I'd just like to pray for him. Father, we just lift up Richard to you. We bind up any works and activities of any spirits of rejection, of condemnation, of bitterness and anger, of depression, just any spirits that would be trying to work in Richard. We just bind them up in Jesus' name that they're not able to work. And we ask, Lord, that you put a desire in Richard to spend time in your word and to spend time in the things of God and not chase after the things of the world. Help him to give up those things that seem so important to people these days and just put your word in him, Lord. And we thank you for what you're going to do in Richard and also in his family. I guess I pray for his ex-wife, too. There's a lot of bitterness and anger there, too. So we just bind up those works and activities of any spirit of rejection, condemnation, bitterness and anger, and any other spirits that are trying to affect her. We bind them up in Jesus' name, and we pray for her, Lord, that she would be able to overcome some of those things and realize that she has authority. They're both believers, but they're religious people. They don't believe they don't believe like we do. And I've tried to share the gospel with him, but I'm not sure how much of it, he's really using. So we just pray, Lord, that you'll do a work in that family, and we thank you for what you're going to do in each one of those people. And also the spirit of unforgiveness. We bind up that spirit of unforgiveness. And we pray, Lord, that you're going to show them that they have to forgive each other. And we thank you for what you're going to do in each one of them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we just believe, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else?
Michael, I'd like to pray for my sister.
Okay, Jackie, go ahead.
Father, I lift up my sister Cheryl to you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that she's accepted you. I just pray that you draw her heart and, Lord, that you speak to her that she can understand you in the state that she's in now, Lord. I pray that you grant your grace of repentance upon her until salvation and that you deliver her and heal her, Father. I ask for your mighty warrior angels to protect her when she's at home in the relationship she's in the hospital now, that you protect her from any harm and any injury. Father, I just ask for your mercy upon my sister's life. I just ask that you bless her and that you continue to draw her to you. And I just praise you and I thank you for the promise of household salvation. And thank you so much, Father, for the word you give me to minister to my sister. And I just pray that the seeds that you speak through me are planted and take hold. And that she comes to you fully in knowledge, Lord, in her heart, and just repents and submits and truly accepts you as her Savior. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I just ask, Lord, just to keep her protected. I don't know what's going on, what the truth is in the relationship, Lord, but something doesn't seem right. I praise you for the healing and restoration that you're bringing in my family, and I'm choosing to believe, Father, that it's you healing my family, and that I'm just not naive in what I'm seeing. And I just ask for your mercy upon our life, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. We just believe with her.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Okay, anyone else? Got a prayer request or would like to pray? I'd like to pray for both of my grandsons, Blake and Chase. Took them out Sunday over to a friend's house of Blake's. and baptized both of them. Blake, who's will be 23 this month, and Chase, who just turned 14 a couple of months ago. And it was really good. It was a blessing. So, Father, I just lift up Blake and Chase to you, Lord. I ask that you draw them to you, Lord, in a mighty way, Lord, that you put a hunger in their hearts, Lord, to seek you and to want to know all about you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to make mighty men of God out of them. And I ask that you fill them up with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Make them, put them into that place, Lord. You know, I wanted me to do, and you told me, yeah, so I know you've got great plans for both of them. And I thank you, Lord, that they're going to come into the kingdom with both feet running and going straight for you, Lord. And not only that, Father, that you're going to place it in their hearts to be a light for everybody around them, Lord. And I thank you for that, because these two young men can be a light for everybody around them and create fruit all around them. And Father, I just thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that people are going to get saved because of these two young men. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in them. All right, anybody else?
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Anybody else want to pray? Well, I'm going to pray a prayer that we've been praying here lately that the Lord has told us to pray. And so we'll talk about it a little bit later. But, Father, I thank you, Lord, for exposing the corrupt, evil things that are going on in Washington, D.C. by these politicians, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that darkness is going to be brought to light. And, Father, that you're going to bring them down because of our prayers. You ask us to pray against it, against the corruptness and the evil that's up there, and the out-and-out, outlawish way that they're running the government up there, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that you're fixing to expose it all. In fact, you've already started that, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, glory be to God, Lord, that you're going to tear down this evil, corrupt government and put a new one in there. And I praise you, Father, for that. And, Lord, it'd be even better if that's your will, Lord. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Brother Michael?
Yes.
It's Pamela here. I just have a prayer request that just came in, actually kind of over a text that Caroline sent for Daddy, you know, Steve. And that is, you know, Keith is an Indianapolis police officer. You know that.
Yep.
But anyway, there was just today... in Caroline's neighborhood, which is the east side of Indianapolis, if you're a police officer, you have to live in the metropolitan area, you know, of Indianapolis, and that's where they live. Anyway, there was a fellow police officer's house that was shot at. So Caroline and Keith are very, very shaken at this. You know, when Keith joined the police force, of course he knew that he was putting his life on the line, but he really didn't sign up to put his wife and his children's lives on the line to be shot out, you know, to be shot at just because, you know, you've got a police car in the driveway, basically. That's what happened. So I'd like to pray for that family. I don't know who it was. And then, of course, for Caroline and Keith, because they're very shaken by this whole thing, understandably. But so, Father, I just, I know this Black Lives Matter thing is going on, and there's all kinds of things about it, and, you know, frankly, Lord, with you, all lives matter, and Lord, God, I just lift up this whole thing that you would just be so present and so mighty and so powerful with your light coming through to people that, you know, people realize that, you know, it never solves anything to be violent towards others, especially innocent people, wives, children. What is this? This is just evil, Lord. This is just the devil, you know, stirring up, you know, with his demons. And so I just cast that down and cast that off of Indianapolis, because my daughter and her family are under your protection of household salvation. And that salvation is broad, and it covers many, many things, including, you know, protection of life, Lord. And so I just speak that over Caroline and Keith and their household, that they have your divine protection. I command angels to go to their house to stop any bullets that might be seeking to enter there and do their devil work. And so it just will not hold, and it will not stand. We cast it down in the name of Jesus. And God, I do want to lift up this other family that, you know, was actually dealing with that today. I don't know their names, but God, I just pray that you would comfort them. God, I pray that you would use this situation, of which is very, very challenging to so many of these police families out there, that you would use this whole situation to have people turn to you and seek you more seriously than they have ever done, and to drop all the worldly stuff and fluff that doesn't matter, and to get in your face and chasing you as far as, you know, getting real with you. And so, God, I just thank you that you're going to take this and bring good things out of this for this other family, and for Keith and Caroline, and for any of the other of that you have of your elect in the police staff around the nation here. And I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for doing this, because we've asked, and I believe it's your heart to do this. And I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's all. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Lord, I just ask and I pray, Lord, that all across this United States, Father, that your policemen that are your chosen, Father, that you protect them, that you put a hedge of protection around all of them, Lord, and I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Father, I just ask that no more killing, no more riots, no more of this other stuff, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you throw a wedge of confederate and the government that's bringing all this about. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that these attempts at creating chaos across the United States to garner this, it comes to naught in Jesus' name. And Father, I praise you that you're gonna establish the order here in Jesus' name, Lord. When you do it, it's already a done deal. We don't have to worry about it, and we praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for hiding every one of us from the government. All of your chosen, Father, we thank you for taking our files out of their files. And, Lord, we completely anonymous in their files in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that you're doing it. You've already done it. You've cleansed their files of our names and our families in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And, Father, I thank you for your protection upon this fellowship, that no communications goes to anybody that you don't want it to, Lord. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? What about testimony and praise reports?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh.
Go ahead, Megan.
Oh. I'm sorry, I'm nervous once again. My nephew is feeling better now. He had a reaction a few days ago from the shot, and he's acting normal. And except that my sister said that he didn't move his legs. I assume he's in pain. Probably. I want prayer for that.
Amen. Praise you, Lord, for keeping that baby boy neutralizing all the effects of that shot in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you for that. We praise you, Father, that you got a hedge of protection around that boy. If they stick any more needles in him, that it's not gonna hurt him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's awesome. Praise report or testimony to glorify the Lord God Almighty. Go ahead, Kurt. Did you have something?
No, I'm sorry. You can mute me if you want to.
All right. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. That's Matthew. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I just had a little bit of a praise report. You know, I got a part-time job, and they want me to do a trial run for full-time next week to see how I do, whether to promote me to full-time or not. So just want to praise the Lord on that one.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for favor from Matthew. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. He's going to go through that trial with flying color. You may not have to heave it, keep it long, but that's okay. Praise you, Father. Okay, anyone else?
Yeah, Michael? This is Judy.
Yeah, go ahead, Judy.
Okay, I don't know how much I even mentioned on here. I was going through some trials. I don't know what exactly was going on, but first I had my... something happened to my foot. I don't know what it did. It swelled up, and I could hardly walk on it. And we prayed over that, and the Lord healed that. And then my knees were starting to hurt back and forth, and we prayed over that, and the Lord healed that. And then he's just keeping those knees good, because I was out doing Bibles, passing out Bibles today, and I could just get in and out of that car, no problem. And then I had my shoulder the other day. It was just really hurting really bad. And this is what bugs me, because I know, you know, the Lord heals and everything, but my shoulder hurt so bad. I just could not stand it. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sit. I couldn't stand. I couldn't do anything. And I talked myself and that it was okay to take an extra pill, you know. Of course, then I was mad at myself that I did it, but then I repented and I asked the Lord to forgive me. And it was one of those deals where, if you take one, you're supposed to take another one and kind of get out of it, you know, not just drop it. So I just asked the Lord, and I threw my coins and said, Lord, do you want the glory? And I just won't take any more of those dumb pills, because I know you're the one that has healed me. And I got three yeses to don't take any more of those pills. I want the glory. So I didn't, and I know that those pills would have never worked as fast as they did. So I'm giving the Lord all the glory and all my healings, and I want to thank him so much for what he's doing for me and keeping me healthy and keeping me strong and just let me get out there and give out books. And so I praise him for all of that he's doing for me, and I give him all the praise. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. That's right. God wants all the glory.
Yep.
For giving it to him either.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for Judy's healing and deliverance in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
All right. Anybody else? Well, I've got a little testimony about my trip back from Arkansas. I got about 50 miles from the house. Now, I was booking it now. I took off and I was coming home. You know how the horse, when he's going home, he cuts out for the barn and he goes as fast as he can, as straight as he can to the house, to the barn. That's kind of the way I was this morning. And the Lord kind of shook me up a little bit. I had a flat about 50 miles from the house in Arkansas on a bridge in a curve. And so I winged it off of the bridge and got it as close to the shoulder as I could, off on the shoulder as far as I could without falling off in the ditch. And I had a spare, It was on the truck when I bought it, so I had a spare, but I didn't have the wrench that you stick in the back bumper to let that spare down. You know, it's underneath the bed of the truck. And man, I wrestled with that for a while, and I finally prayed and I said, "Lord, you're going to have to help me here, get this thing off here." Trucks were passing by fast and side by side a lot of times, and that wind would just shake that truck, you know, and me. And I'm praying all the time, you know. And I finally got that thing worked down, and Lord help me. And I got that spare down to where I could get it off of that spare tire holder, that cable, and went ahead and changed it out and came on home then. And I was doing 80 and maybe even a little more than that. So the Lord kind of brought it to my attention. He said, "You keep the speed limit, boy." And so all the way back, I was driving 70, 71, that right there, all the way back. And so kind of the Lord sometimes has to, I'd been ignoring that inner voice when I had gone home every other time and just gone as fast as I could think I could get away with, going home and coming back both. But the Lord really thrashed me this morning, and so I took my time coming home today, and it was a valuable lesson that I learned. He wants us to obey all the laws, you know, and you feel better when you do anyway. You're not looking around to see if you can find a cop somewhere getting ready to stop you, but you're doing the speed limit and you're okay, and you just you sit there and you, or I did, I just sat there and just praise the Lord, you know, and listen to Bible studies and things like that. So praise God for the lesson learned. All right, yeah. Anybody else?
I think we've all been guilty of that, Michael, so I can't say you're alone on that at all. I know that. I've been there. I do it, you know. I try not to get involved with that and speed all the time, but it's so easy to fall into it because everybody else around you is flying usually. Just kind of pulls you right in. So, yeah, I'll admit to that one too.
Yeah. Well, I've done it every time I've gone home and come back, you know, and for these last 4 years, and I think the Lord finally just had enough and said, "Okay, I'm going to show you something, big boy." And he slowed me down. That's good. I've learned my lesson. All right, anyone else?
Hey, Michael, I got a testimony.
Is this Anna?
Yes.
Okay, Anna, what you got?
Last week, my niece was staying with us for a week, and, you know, she was sick first for, like, 3 days, and then her daycare was closed for the week, so we had her for, like, 9 days. Tasha, she's 7, and she was so sick for, I think it was 3 days, and she was so sick that she would just lay there and throw up down her chest. I mean, she wouldn't even sit up. You know, we had something for her to throw up in, and she wouldn't even sit up. She was just so sick, she wouldn't move. And she had this terrible backache, and she always wanted Matthew to carry her to the bathroom because she didn't feel like she could walk. And he'd try and scoop her up, and she'd be screaming, it hurts, my back hurts, you know. And we tried to keep her sitting up on the couch so she wouldn't hurt her neck, and she'd be screaming, it hurts, and she'd just throw up down herself. She was so weak. And so I prayed with her, and the next day she was still sick. And that night I was like, "Tasha, you know what? We're going to command you to be better." And she's like, "Okay." I was like, "Do you understand what that means?" She's like, "Yeah." I was like, "Okay." So we prayed and commanded her to be better and commanded her back to be better. And I told her, "Okay, you're going to believe this. You know, in the morning you're going to feel better." And the next morning I got up and I walked into the living room, and she's sitting at the table eating strawberries, and I was like, "How you feeling?" She's like, "Great. Me and Papa went and picked the strawberries, and we did the sheep, and we did this, and we did that." And I was like, "How's your back?" And she's like, "Good." She never complained of it again. And you know when you get a backache, how it hurts for days sometimes. And she was just totally fine. She never threw up again, never complained of her back, just up and going, and it was just awesome because I was like, "I told you God would heal you." And she's like, "I know, he did, didn't he?"
Praise God. Yeah, sometimes you just got to get mad, don't you? Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your complete healing. All right. Anybody else? Let me read this thing to you that I got from a guy. This is from Superstation 95. I don't know if y'all know about it or not, but I just got on to it here a while. I think Rob put us on to it. It says, violent anti-police rallies in 37 U.S. cities are being promoted on the dark web for this Friday, July 15th, beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. Superstation 95 has obtained access to this information. And if it goes as planned, if it goes as planned, many cities in the United States will erupt in ferocious violence under the guise of being a nationwide call to action against police brutality. While this national call to action is what appears on the regular internet to lure people in, on the dark web, it is being called a day of rage, and plans are being pursued for hideous and widespread violence. The cities named in the dark web posting are listed below. We will not publish the organizing location so as not to aid in this hideous effort. And it lists the 37... cities, and it's a lot of big cities, mostly capital cities. And the questions he asked at the bottom, he says, how many of these cities will be a repeat of Dallas? How many completely innocent police officers will be attacked? How many completely innocent civilians will be hurt? How much property will be damaged? Why are these protests being organized when statistics compiled by government and verified by media show that 509 persons killed by police in the USA so far this year? The breakdown is as follows. It's white 238, black 123, Hispanic 79, unknown 46, and other 23, and then he gives a source for it. Anyway, it goes on to list some other things. And I think we had run across another one where somebody had hacked into Black Lives Matter text and also email and retrieved some emails and texts to Loretta Lynch, who's the Attorney General of the United States. And the gist of the whole thing was that they wanted to cause disruption across the U.S. and cause the government to go to martial law in order to keep Obama in, because he still had some more stuff he wanted to do as president that he hadn't gotten to yet. And that, of course, is to bring down the United States. But anyway, that's why we want to pray against these things. And just looking through these cities, it's just about every state of the union, just about it. I don't see, I even got Little Rock down there. It's not a very big town. Little Rock's not. It's just a little over 100,000. But they've got a bunch of them. Anyway, so that's why we're praying against this attack on this nation. And we pray that God would scatter the enemy, that he would confuse the enemy, and that he would scatter them out of this, and that he would take care of what's going on. Anybody got any comments?
Yeah, this is a hard thing to follow. It's so much going on right now. You know.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Brother
there's
Michael.
A lot going on. Yes.
Yeah, it's Pamela again. You asked if anybody had any comments. I was wondering if Indianapolis was on that list.
Let me see. No city in Indiana at all.
All right, thank you. And
that's good.
I guess, yes, I praise, thank you, Lord. But I was thinking, if it's 35 or 36 cities, because, you know, you mentioned Little Rock already, it would probably take you less than a minute to read the cities. I would be interested to know what cities they are. Either okay. that or, I mean, possibly right. either that or send right. a link out. I don't want to tell you how to do the conference call, but I'm
oh,
just
sure.
telling you, I
yeah,
would
okay.
like,
that's what I'm awesome.
I would like to know, so to send a link out if you feel led to not read them. So thank you, Brother Michael.
I'll just go ahead and say them.
Okay.
I'll go through. It's only 37
okay.
of them.
All right.
There's
thank
Phoenix.
You.
Okay. Phoenix, Tucson, Little Rock, San Francisco, Oakland, Los Angeles, Denver, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Tampa, Orlando, Miami, Chicago, Des Moines, Iowa, New Orleans, Baltimore, Boston, Detroit, Michigan, Lansing, Michigan, Ann Arbor, Michigan, Minneapolis, Minnesota, St. Louis, Carson City, Nevada. Somebody's not muted. That's Pamela.
Sorry, I'll get on it right now.
Okay. See, Carson City, Nevada, Manhattan, New York, Newark, New Jersey, Durham, North Carolina, Columbus, Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio, Portland, Oregon, Philadelphia, PA, Pittsburgh, PA, Nashville, Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee, Austin, Texas, Salt Lake City, Utah, Seattle, Washington, and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That's where they are.
What's the name of that article again, Michael?
It's on Superstation 95. Violent rallies planned for 37 U.S. cities being promoted on the dark web. Just go to www.superstation95.com and go to home, and it'll have that it'll have that one up there. Also, some other things that are is going on. Atlanta is considering a citywide curfew and then mobilizing National Guard over these anti-police protests that they've got coming up Friday. So there you go. Maybe that's going to be the start of the martial law right there. But we can pray, and God will answer our prayers. We pray against this, and he'll answer our prayers. And something else I wanted to bring up. In New Jersey, at Hoboken, New Jersey, which is a clean little old town from what I understand, people are lining up to buy food because of Italy's banking crisis over there. I don't know if you even know about Italy's banking crisis. They have the ATMs are out of money, and they're not putting money back in them in Italy. And the people over there are worried, and there's a collapse. It looks like a collapse for Italy. You got Greece. You don't hear anything about Greece anymore. Just seems like they just come up and they'll talk about it for a couple of days, and then the next thing you know, you don't hear any more about it. But it's still going on. Greece, Italy, all of them, all of the people in the European Union are in trouble as far as the economics, the banking is concerned, and of course you know about Venezuela. And Mexico's in bad shape. Well, that's just the whole world is actually. They've been living off of printing money for too long, and now it's catching up to them. And also, just to be on top of that, China orders military to prepare for combat with the United States over the Hague ruling on the South China Sea. And I'm not real sure what that's all about, but that's the headlines. They're getting their Liberation Army geared up for war. And also, you know about the U.S. aggravating the Russians over there in the Black Sea, in the Baltic area over there. They've been antagonizing the Russians, and it looks like they're just trying to get started a lot of junk. So we've got a lot of praying to do, and nothing happens if you don't pray. If you pray, He's going to fulfill His promises to us. But we have to pray. We have to pray. You know, when you pray, you need your whole heart into it. Don't just say some little old flippant prayer and think it's going to go somewhere. It's not. We have to put our whole heart into it and just allow God to work in us and to pray through us to do those things. Pray in the Spirit a lot. Well, you know about the shooting at Michigan that three were dead. This guy went nuts and killed two of the bailiffs, two of the deputies, I think. And then they shot him.
Yeah, Michael.
Okay. Hey, go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, my sister was quite concerned about it because she was a block away when it happened. And, of course, you can read all the articles. But it's kind of a small town for that to happen.
Yeah, I think it's... How big was it, Malcolm? Do you know?
Oh, it's just a little... It's just a university town. It's not, you know, it's... their parade just lasts, you know, the annual... Their little parades that they have, they last just a few minutes because there's hardly anywhere to go.
Okay. All right. You know, what's disturbing mostly is... the hatred, this movement, even over these Dallas police killings. You know, you've got Hillary out there saying, you know, the white people are at fault that this guy went out and killed five policemen and wounded seven more. And you got Obama doing the same thing. I don't know, he's supposed to have had a speech today, but I never did hear it. I don't know what he said. Hopefully, he's trying to bring some healing in there, you know, between the races. And it's all being fomented by these radicals, these radical left-wing people. And it's just something we pray against. Okay. That's the latest news. That's all you get. I'm tired of the bad news. Let's go some good news. God's in control, isn't he? Okay, has anybody got anything they'd like to share?
Michael?
Yeah, Wade?
I not exactly have something to share, but I'm trying to find out if there is such a verse as not to get involved in the affairs of this world. I thought it was a verse, but I've been hunting for it all afternoon, and I can't find it. I've been using software, eSword, and I can't find it. Not to get involved in affairs of
Timothy.
Go ahead, Malcolm.
Oh, I don't know. I just I'm sorry. I'm trying to deal with my
what in the world was
head,
that?
I didn't hear it because my headset came on detached, and I didn't hear a thing. But I'm sure you guys enjoyed it. I've heard it's
absolutely
good.
Oh, absolutely.
No, I just heard, I was just thinking about that, where Paul says, be ye not entangled in the affairs of this life, when he talks about a soldier. Was that counsel to Timothy or Titus? I don't know. Seems like Timothy, maybe.
Yeah, I found it at 2 Timothy 2:4.
There you go.
2 Timothy 2:4. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled, et cetera, et cetera. 2 Timothy 2:4. Over.
Roger, solid copy. See, where was that mute button?
The what?
I was just speaking in your behalf regarding the mute button.
Yeah, well, I said the verse. Wade, did you get that?
Yes, 2 Timothy 2:4.
Yeah. No soldier on service entangleth himself in the affairs of life that he may please him who enrolled him as a soldier.
Thank you.
And it probably says world in something in another translation. That's the ASV. Excuse me. All right, anybody else?
Michael, last night I decided to look up what you were just referring to, the Black Lives Matter program and their some of their agenda, which has gotten revealed. But it just, today I looked up the different the two conventions, and they both happen in July. And those aren't very far away from now, time-wise. And, of course, you probably read that Black Lives Matter refused to participate or go to the kind of an orientation of some kind or something for activists for the Republican convention. They were notably absent, and they said, we don't feel like something about they don't want their constitutional rights. They feel like going to an orientation like that or whatever would infringe on their constitutional rights to do whatever they deem appropriate at the convention. I don't know if you read that today.
No, I didn't see that. But I like what that chief of Dallas Police Department said. He said, instead of protesting to be a solution to the problem, he said, we're hiring. And we'll put you in your neighborhood to be a solution rather than a protest. And I thought that was quite admirable of that man to bring it out in such a way that it puts the monkey back on the government or the people in charge of Black Lives Matter. And that's so truth. Why would you want to get out there and cause disruption when there's, because of disruption? That just doesn't make any sense. Why do you want to cause problems because of a problem? Why not try to go for a solution to the problem instead of fomenting hate and anger and bitterness? And all of that, just go the Christian way. Do like Martin Luther King did. He didn't. He wouldn't promote this Black Lives Matter. He wouldn't have anything to do with them. He was peaceful. He was going the Christ-like way. And he got results. So, I don't know. I don't understand reasoning, which there is no reasoning. It's all to create a chaos and promote divisiveness in the United States.
Yeah, that police chief's name is David. I just seen it there.
David Brown, I believe, isn't it?
David Brown. Yeah, he is a Christian man. He made his statement that he was a Christian. I seen him on CNN Sunday. He was a very well composed man, so I have a lot of respect for that guy. He's just a very humble man. I can see that.
Yeah, I did too. I thought he's a wise man to offer solutions, and where there's nobody else offering a solution other than just mouthing off rhetoric. Okay, let's. Anybody got anything else they'd like to share tonight? But this afternoon, I asked the Lord for a word for tonight's conference call, and I got Zechariah chapter 8, verses 7 and 8, that says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. That's the bride. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Praise God. So how many of you want to be in that Jerusalem, that bride? I do. Praise God. Okay. Anybody else?
What was that again, Zechariah?
That was Zechariah chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. All right, anybody else?
I asked the Lord briefly what was on his mind just a couple, well, you know, as we were talking, because I had a few other things on my mind I was questioning him about, but I thought, well, I'll ask the Lord what he's thinking about. And he gave me this. Initially, he just gave me Romans 4:21, being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able to perform. I thought, well, I know he's kind of trying to increase or push us forward to continue to pray and believe. So I backed up a little bit to see what more. So I started at 14. It says, who in hope believed against hope that at the end that he might become a father of many nations according to that which he had been spoken, so that thy seed be, and without being weakened in faith, he considered his own body not now as good as dead, being about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. And looking unto the promise of God, he wavered not through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Wherefore, also, it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. So I'm assuming the Lord, what he's telling us is just to keep pushing forward for the prayers, the intercession, and not be discouraged and know that the promise is out there. We're on the right track. He wants us to continue on with that, our prayer life, and be the fastings and everything else, because that's how we're going to come into his image and get his kingdom and coming in this world and get his will done.
Amen. What was those verse references?
He gave me Romans 4:21. That was through Esau. It comes up red. But then I just backed up from 4:18 through 4:22 to get a more of an expanded view. So okay. Romans 4:18 through 4:22. Okay. And it opened up on 4:21.
Okay. Good deal. That's good. And that kind of goes along with what mine was. All right, anybody else?
Hello, Michael.
Yeah, Gaynell.
This is Gaynell. And I got a verse, and I honestly wasn't really sure how it would pertain to today. But I'm thinking maybe it's speaking of the corporate body of Christ and of all the it seems like so much of the government and all the things we get in the mail, they're coming against the Christians and wanting to quiet them. But the verse I got was Matthew 27:62, and I'll read just probably from 62 to 66. Now on the morrow, which is the day after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees were gathered together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said while he was alive, after 3 days I rise again. Commanded therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest haply his disciples come and steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead, and the last error will be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a guard, go make it as sure as you can. As they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone, the guard being with them. And I just, I couldn't see where it really fit for today, but perhaps it's speaking of the corporate body of Christ. I don't know. Perhaps you have something that you can see in that I am missing.
Well,
but
all
that
of
was
our...
the first that I got.
Okay. Well, all of our plans and schemes to come, all of their plans and schemes that comes against the Lord, not going to work, are they? That's kind of what I get out of it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, they sealed it up and put the guards there, and what happened? The stone was rolled away.
Right. Well, anyway, we're thankful that our Lord is sovereign.
Amen.
No matter what they try to put in place.
That's right. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, all their best laid plans. If God wants something done, He's going to do it anyway. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for scattering the enemy. Thank you, Lord, for messing up their plans. And Lord, we just praise you for that in Jesus' name. Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, I got Deuteronomy 29, verses 15 and 16. But with him that standeth here with us this day before Jehovah our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day, so those that are not with us this day, he would mean us. That's also for us. For ye know how we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the midst of the nations through which we passed. And if you start at the beginning of the chapter, it was where Moses was telling the people how, you know, they were complaining, and Moses was telling them how the things that God had already brought them through. And I just felt he's telling us that the same is for us, because it was about the covenant.
Amen. What were those verses again, Marlon?
Deuteronomy 29, 15 and 16.
Okay. All right. Amen. Anybody?
Can I ask you again? Yeah. What was Gaino, what was her verses? I didn't write it down quick enough.
Matthew 27. Verses 62 through 66.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm back in school and going to get talked to soon for not paying attention.
Well, all right. Anybody else?
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead. Who is that? Linda?
Linda, Oklahoma.
Yeah, go ahead, Linda.
Okay, I just opened my Bible, and in Isaiah 1:28, and the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed.
Okay, 1:28. Give me a little time to get there.
Isaiah 1:28.
But the destruction of the transgressors and sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. Ooh, don't forsake the Lord. That ain't good.
Right, but that's what's happening.
It looks like what's fixing to happen, too.
Uh-huh.
With the politicians up there, with these, y'all know who Ken Dewey is? He claims to be a prophet out there in New Mexico. And he's had some pretty good words here in the past. One of his prophecies here recently was that, and I may have mentioned this last time, was that the Lord was going to have a big hole open up there on the Capitol and dump all those politicians into it. And then he's going to have Rick Perry, who is a politician from Texas, formulate a new government. Not that he's going to head it up, but that he's just going to form a new government. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. You know, I wouldn't be opposed to that. I'd like to see the Lord save those that can be saved. Okay, anybody else?
Michael? Yeah, I got a word. That Jehu went and Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, into the house of Baal and said unto the worshippers of Baal, search and look that there be here with you none of the servants of the Lord, but the worshippers of Baal only.
Okay, give me that reference again.
It's Kings chapter 10, verse 23.
Okay. All right. I'm going to ask you one more time. What's the book?
It's Kings.
Okay, Kings. First King.
Kings. Second.
Second Kings. Okay. All right. Chapter 10, verse 23. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, good deal. Now, let me get down there to it. You don't mind if I read it again, do you? Because I was sitting here trying to figure out stuff and I wasn't listening. I'm kind of like David. I wasn't listening. And Jehu went and Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, into the house of Baal. And he said unto the worshippers of Baal, search and look that there be here with you none of the servants of the Lord, but the worshippers of Baal only.
Yeah.
All right.
I was listening today. I can't remember what I was on. I think it was the Real Good News, maybe, but talked about Baal being Satan.
Okay.
He's that false Jesus that's in the churches today.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of that. A lot of golden calves running around out there.
Michael, at the in my Bible, at the top of that column, it says, worshippers of Baal entrapped and slain. Oh. I don't know. I haven't read the whole chapter, so I don't know. But that's what
you're talking about the
The Second Kings 10:23.
Yeah.
In my Bible, at the top, it says, worshippers of Baal entrapped and slain. So
It
didn't turn out good for them.
No, it didn't. Jehu went in there and took care of business, didn't he?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're going to be doing that. You're going to be taking care of business here shortly. We praise you, Father, that you're going to get rid of all the idols that are in your people's lives, Lord, and you're going to make it hot enough to where they'll want to get rid of them and then find the truth. And once they find the truth, Lord, they're going to run after you like the bride of the Shulamite bride, Lord. And we just, we praise you for that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? It's good. Thank you, Mia.
Yeah.
Anybody else? What in the world was that, Linda? Be sure and mute your phone.
You have been muted. To unmute yourself, press the star key twice. Mute off.
You got yourself on there twice.
Oh,
I'm going to hang you up.
Goodbye.
I hang up too.
All right, I hung you up. You're okay now. All right. Okay, anybody else got a word?
Hello, Michael.
Hey.
Okay, I was thinking about the scripture that the gentleman earlier in the conversation, 2 Timothy 2:4, where it's kind of a warning, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's a pretty, that's a warning to us, I guess, to really be separated out of what's happening in our world. A lot of people in the name of the Lord are joining this, what's happening, you know, and it's not of the Lord.
Yeah, you've got patriotic Christians that don't understand the Word of God, that are gearing up in the flesh rather than gearing up in the Spirit. And you don't entangle, right there it says it, in yourself in the affairs of this life. Where our war is fought on our knees.
Amen.
And when we do spiritual warfare on our knees, you get a whole lot better results than you do in shooting somebody. Because when you're shooting somebody, you're going against God's word. You're storing up ammunition and guns and all that stuff. All that's going to do is get you hurt and your family hurt too.
That's right.
And if you're storing up a lot of food, and if you're storing up a lot of food and a lot of stuff to try to make it through the tribulation, people are going to know about it, and they're going to come get it.
Our ammunition is prayer and fasting and obedience.
Amen. Obedience is better than sacrifice, isn't it?
Yeah, God has me really doubling up on my praying in tongues, and I'm just kind of doing it. I mean, but when I see what's happening, you know, I hope it's benefiting the body of Christ, you know, because, you know, protecting myself, my family, and the body of Christ. I guess things are really happening fast.
Yeah, it looks like the Lord is ratcheting things up quite quick now. All the signs seem to indicate that 2016 is the pivot year, is the start of all of this stuff. So we'll see. We need to be ready, spiritually speaking, not necessarily physically speaking, but spiritually speaking is where we need to be.
Amen.
Drawing nigh unto the Lord. When you draw nigh unto the Lord, you got Him as a backup.
Yeah, He's our only.
Well, I think. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, He's our only safety. You know, I was thinking how I know if we stay in the Spirit like we can, God will hide us from the enemy. If we stay hidden inside the blood of Jesus, we're going to either be translated or invisible. I think.
Well, I can tell you for a fact that He can hide you. He's hid this house from Google Earth. I went online the other day to try to find this house on Google Earth, and it's not there. It got a little old tag there. That's
it.
You don't see anything but trees.
That's great.
Yep. Amen. That's what we prayed, and God's honoring it. So I'd do the same thing for your house. I remember a dream, or I think it was a dream that Sandy had, that she saw foreign soldiers lined up around the streets there. Martial law was in effect. And the big house that we were in over at Sweetwater's where she saw it, and she said we were in there, but we were in there praying, and she could see through the eyes of one of those foreign soldiers, and there was nothing there but an empty lot. That's all they saw. So God can do all kinds of stuff to hide us. So you need to be praying against you being able to be seen by the government or the forces of evil. Go ahead, David. I'm sorry. I remember you had something to say a while ago.
I was just going to say that we are doing this, but in a sense, it's that 2 Timothy 2:4. Also, I know the Lord doesn't want us getting wrapped up in what's going on, and He doesn't want us to get all turned around and carried away like maybe the rest of this country and the world's going to be carrying on. But at the same time, we have been, and I do think He does want us to continue to intercede for what's happening, not so much because we're trying to help the world out as much as we're trying to buy more time for the saints that need time before this tribulation takes off. And I think it was what David was indicating, and also I think you too, Michael, that we're trying to hold back what the left and what the communists and the radical Islam and everybody else wants to do is move things along faster than what is really in the time period and time frame. Because that the tribulation of saints is supposed to happen until midway of when the tribulation starts, not at the beginning. So it's okay for us to continue to pray down that so that we can hopefully give Jacob time to get ready for what's happening, including ourselves even, you know, getting our minds prepared and getting our faith built up, like I read today in Romans 4:18-22, getting ourselves in that frame of mind that what we're praying for, we can hope against all hope, no matter what we see coming around us, and know that we're going to be able to perform through these times.
Amen. That's true. Well, you know, Obama's he wants to start killing Christians right away. It wouldn't bother him a bit in the world. Line them up, you know. Start doing that, shutting down. You know, the governments are coming against these some of these churches that are coming that are preaching against homosexuality, and they find out about it, you know, and they're shutting them down. They're hauling the pastors in. Some of them have been charged, you know, with hate crime. So it's getting. You know, if you don't know the Lord, it's getting scary. But if you know the Lord, it's not fear, man. I tell you, it's actually, I'm rejoicing because I know we're getting close. We're getting real close to these great revival that God's fixed. He's got planned for us. And we're going to start seeing people come in by the droves, you know. And that's going to be awesome. It's going to get everybody busy. Everybody's going to be busy. Somebody be over here baptizing. Somebody else will be over here teaching. Somebody else will be over here doing something else, you know. And it's going to be an awesome time. Just make sure that you're asking the Lord, you know, where you're supposed to be. And if you're in the right place, you know, he's going to take care of you. It doesn't make any difference if you're right in the middle of all this happening. God will take care of you. He'll do it. All right, anybody else get a word? Okay, what y'all want to talk about? I don't have a whole lot that I can share, unless you want.
Yeah, Michael.
Hey.
I don't really have anything I want to talk about. I just want to share what I read in the paper the other night, that Trump is getting together a committee to check into what the Christians would like to see happen if he was president. And that's, boy, that's something we haven't heard for a long time.
Boy, isn't that the truth? That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. But we put our trust in the Lord. We know what he's going to do. Yep, the Trump can be saved, you know. Praise God. That'd be awesome. All right, anyone else?
Michael?
Go ahead.
I have been praying for the Democrats and the Republicans, and certainly, you know, Trump and Clinton, to be for the Holy Ghost to convict their hearts so they can be saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and go to heaven. And I've been doing that from day one when everybody started running, you know, when all those Republicans were on stage. And but anyway, of course, and so I'm praying, and of course I've been praying for Obama since, you know, from day one, that God would save him in Jesus' name. So that's interesting what Trump said. I hadn't heard that report. That's a good report.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? All right. Let's see what we can get into here. You know, Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, he said, I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You got to see a goal there, don't you? What is that goal? That's manifestation of Christ in you. And that's why we're here. You know, that's why God put us here on this earth. It's the manifestation of Christ in you. It talks about in Romans 8 and 12. So then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. You know, those two verses go together. Because putting to death the deeds of the body, denying yourself, denying that old man, That's bearing your cross. And when you're bearing your cross, you're being led by the Spirit. And when you're led by the Spirit, hey, that's manifesting sonship. You know, the Word of God is the seed. You've heard David talk about this much. The Word of God is the seed that brings forth Christ in us. And that renews our minds so that we can be led and walk with the Spirit. That Word of God is the seed that brings forth Christ in each one of us. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That your natural carnal mind cannot walk with the Spirit. It just don't know how. It ain't got no way to do it. Amos 3:3 says, "Shall two walk together except they have agreed?" The Spirit of God is foolishness to a carnal mind. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, "For the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God." So when we come into agreement with God, then we can walk and be led by the Spirit. Our capacity to walk hand in hand with Jesus as He walked, our capacity to walk in the Spirit is directly related to how much of that Word that you're agreeing with. That's because if you're not agreeing with God, you're not going to listen to Him, are you? You're not going to obey Him. And when these principles of the Word of God are involved in a situation or circumstance that you're in, you're not going to be obedient to them if you're disagreeing with them. So how do we come to know the voice of the Spirit? Everybody knows this. You've got to become familiar with the Word of God. That's why we've been given this Word. Living according to the New Testament is to walk in the Spirit. It's to walk with Christ and to abide in Him. The New Testament gives us familiarity with the Spirit so that we can walk with Him. How do you know what voice speaks to you unless you're familiar with the person of that voice through their own words, through their own nature, and through their own character? When you study the Word, you begin to know the voice of the Spirit. And you can see where people go astray of Him. You can see, too, why they go astray, because you can see error more clearly. And the more familiar you become with the Word, you'll see that more clearly. We need to have fellowship with God through the Word so that we can be led by the Spirit and be called sons and daughters of God. And Paul goes on to say in Romans 8:15, "For you received not the spirit of bondage again unto fear." Those people under the old covenant, they didn't have the Holy Spirit, and they were in bondage to that law. John 7:39 says, "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on Him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Listen, when they kept the law, they had to do it by their own strength and by their own ability. But y'all know it wasn't possible for them to do that. James 2:10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he has become guilty of all." And if you're trying to keep the law of the Old Testament, then you made yourself a bondservant. That ain't good. John 8:35 says, "And the bondservant abideth not in the house forever. It's the Son abideth forever." And the Holy Spirit's job is to bring us into that adoption. Romans 8:15, "For ye received not the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but she received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit's called the spirit of adoption because his job is to manifest Christ in us. Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 14, he said, He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall declare it unto you. Our faith is what makes it possible for the Holy Spirit to manifest that, Jesus in each one of us. You got to be calling the things that are not as though they were. And you accept that sonship right now if it's ever going to be manifested. The Holy Spirit moves through our faith. He brings things to pass because of our faith. He don't have to do anything if you don't have any faith. There are no promises in this word if you don't have faith. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says, For whatsoever is begotten of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. The Holy Spirit is to bring us to the adoption of sonship. And the adoption is the end of our faith. Not the beginning. It's the end of our faith. You don't just draw a line in the sand, you've made it. Y'all know what David says that quite often. 1 Peter 1 and 9 says, Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. God manifests the adoption because of the salvation of the soul. And that's when the soul bears fruit, 30, 60, or 100-fold. We're sons of God by faith. We're adopted by faith. And Paul teaches that we're adopted sons of God by faith. And that's a great thing that God reckons our faith as righteousness. All of those verses talks about. That means that even a baby Christian can enter into the kingdom. Otherwise, no one who has manifested that sonship yet has a hope or a chance. James 2 and 17 says, Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. So faith has got to be walked in. Verse 18, And I by my works will show thee my faith. There's a whole bunch of folks out there that say they have faith, but it's not real faith because they're not walking in it. They're only acknowledging it in their mind that they've got that faith. You can't stand still in faith. Real faith moves. Real faith got action, y'all. And without action, faith is dead. It's incomplete. Romans 8 and 16, The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Doesn't say sons. That's because Paul's talking about manifestation. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Give diligence to present thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling all right the word of truth. We got to be careful in dividing that word of truth, right? And since he's talking about manifestation, then we can say that all those who are walking by faith are at least children of God by manifestation. 1 John 3 and 2 says, Beloved, now are we children of God. It doesn't say sons of God, it says children of God. And it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. And what we need to understand is what we shall be is what? Christ. 1 Corinthians 13 and 12, For now we see in a mirror, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known. We're going to see him face to face. And God's purpose in Christ is to bring about his life in each one of us so that manifestly we are sons of God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 says, Beloved, now are we children of God. And it is not yet manifest, it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. And we know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him. for we shall see him even as he is. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. There it is. That's a condition. We are children, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, only if we also suffer with him, right? So be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. And suffering is what happens when you're led by the Spirit, because your flesh always wants to go the opposite way, don't it? 1 Peter 4:1 says, for as much then as Christ suffered in the flesh, arm ye yourselves also with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Why is that? Well, it's because when you suffer in the flesh, it means that you're going against the flesh and you're walking in the Spirit. You have to suffer with Christ in order to be glorified with Christ. In order for the Spirit to grow in you, you have to suffer the death of self. That old man's got to go. And when you're walking in the Spirit, that's suffering the death to self. Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the revealing of the sons of God. That word revealing in the Greek actually means unveiling. Creation is waiting for the unveiling or manifestation of the sons of God. They're hidden to the world. And the reason they're hidden to the world is that they're not yet acting in agreement with the Son, Jesus Christ. We know that the full adoption don't happen until we receive a new body, right? But we also know that the manifestation of sonship in Christ was true in spirit and soul before he received a new body. Jesus did his work in this earth as a manifested son in spirit and soul before he received his new body. We can do the same thing. Creation is waiting for the manifestation of sons of God in spirit and in soul right now. Even while they're walking in the body of flesh. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. And that's the truth. One Jesus or one Paul or one Peter can do a whole lot more than 10,000 carnal Christians, y'all. The creation needs this manifestation of the Son so that creation itself can be delivered. We've proved that here in the gardens, you know, blessing the gardens and praying over the gardens. And y'all would be surprised at these tomato plants we got out of here. I don't want to get off on this too much, but gosh, we've got tomato plants out there that's taking over the whole garden. And it's just amazing to me. In Romans 8:20, it says, for the creation was subjected to vanity, not of its own will, but by reason of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. We have the authority in Christ to bring that deliverance to creation. We've prayed over, it's like I was telling you before, we've prayed over this garden. It's just amazing. We had cabbages big as number two wash tub. You couldn't put them in a number two wash tub. We had romaine lettuce the same way. We've been given authority over all the power of the enemy. And what's the power of the enemy? That's the curse, isn't it? But we've been given authority over the curse. Acts 10:38, even Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus came, y'all, to destroy the works of the devil and corruption. And since creation is under the bondage of corruption because of the fall of man, now God is fixing to reverse that process. And this time God's going to save man and use man to bring about the deliverance of the creation. So that's how come the creation is waiting for man to be saved manifestly. All of creation is waiting for man to come into that manifestation. The creation never would have been delivered into corruption had it not been for man. And now God's going to reverse it through the spiritual man, Jesus Christ, in us. Romans 8 and 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only so, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for our adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I believe that redemption of the body that Paul's talking about here is a new body, because Christ is to be manifested in us first in spirit, and then soul, and then what happened? Then the body. The fullness of that adoption happens when you get the new body. He's talking about that new creation of Christ here. And we ain't got nothing to do with the new body. That's all up to the Lord, isn't it? But we do have something to do with the spirit and the soul. And you don't have any authority to deliver the body if you're walking in willful sin. But Romans 8 and 24 says, for in hope were we saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopeth for that which he seeth? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We're patiently waiting for that full manifestation that we received by faith, and which we received in hope. Y'all know what hope is. You've heard it a lot of times. It's firm expectation. We're expecting to see it. Most of the church world doesn't even expect to ever see it. They're kicked back just waiting to see the Lord come and get them, you know. But God's purpose is to manifest sons. And that manifestation of sonship is going to deliver all of creation from the bondage and corruption it's groaning under. We're sons through faith right now. At this point right now, we have manifested sonship in our spirit, and we're manifesting sonship in our soul. And we will have manifested sonship in our body at the adoption. That sonship in your spirit is instantaneous. But then that sonship in your soul is a work, right? As we kill the flesh, as we die to flesh and the world. Well, all right. Anybody got any questions or any comments on manifesting sons of God? It's a job that God's given every one of us, isn't it? To manifest sonship. Kill that flesh and get rid of the world out of us. Die to the world. And nothing matters anymore but Jesus. You know, I find that out more and more every day. Especially when I go back home and visit family, it's real evident that there's a need, because people just really don't believe that they have to run after Jesus. And the reason is because they're not in the Word. They listen to these ear-tickling preachers out there that tell them, oh, the cross line. You're going, all you got to do is kick back and wait on Jesus. He's going to come and get you before all this mess starts happening.
Michael.
And boys, there's going to be some surprises out there. Yeah, go.
Yeah, Michael, I'm doing a study right now. Miles Stanford, the Green Letters, the First Principles of the New Birth, and it's right down the alley of what you're talking about. It's our, you know, it's our position where we're at now. You know, David, you know, obviously, and you as well, you know, have taught this in the past, and I'm just kind of getting a concentration of it. And it, boy, I'll tell you what, it has really supercharged my spirit, man. As well as, you know, the desire to really get this flesh on the chopping block, if you will. So, yes and amen to what you're sharing tonight. That is the, you know, Debbie and I both, you know, have really come to appreciate, you know, those. It's why they call first things first, right?
Amen.
Debbie wanted to know also, if you don't mind maybe segueing just for a moment here backwards, you were going home to pray for a lady, Lisa, I guess her name was. Did that ever transpire?
Well, we're still believing. We're still believing. In fact, he called me this afternoon, Bill did, her boyfriend. And the doctors are giving him the bad report, but I'm telling you something. I have often talked with people that have faith, but this boy has great and bold faith. I mean, he's got the joy of the Lord in him and on him, and he is in the rest, brother. He knows that God's going to do something. He said, I ain't believing what those doctors are telling me. He said, oh, I'm going to believe what the Word of God says. And he says, I believe the Lord gave him the gift of faith is what I believe. And he's hanging in there. And no, he ain't hanging in there. He's believing. He's believing. And I'm believing with him. And y'all are too. And we're going to see a miracle, a mighty miracle. They told him that everything is shutting down on her. And I said, Bill, what do you think? He said, I know it's not. He said, God has already told us. She's not under the curse, and she's coming up out of that bed of affliction. I said, you bet, brother. I'm believing with you. So that's where we are right now. I'm looking for a mighty miracle here shortly.
A good place to be.
Absolutely. You know, that David's got a Bible study called Weakness, the Way to God's Power. And that's, matter of fact, that's the Bible study that we locally here are in, just started, as a matter of fact. And, Weakness, the Way to God's Power. And that's where we are with her. Awesome.
Great. Well, that's a good report. That's good to hear.
Yep. Yeah, he's been with her this whole time. Somebody else that didn't know the Lord would have walked out on it a long time ago. But he's hung in there with her, and I believe God's going to just bless him mightily. And her as well. I believe she's going to go up and have a word from God. What I'm thinking. I don't know, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but that's what I'm thinking is going to happen. That's popped into my head this afternoon. So we'll see. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share or talk about?
Michael,
yes,
is
ma'am.
Reynold, and I had another verse that I got by random this morning, and it just totally fits with what you were sharing before, and it's John 6:63. It is the Spirit that maketh alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. And they're just exactly what you were speaking. So I just wanted to share that.
God is so good. He knows what we're going to talk about, doesn't he?
Well, he sure does. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anybody else?
This is Oklahoma. I was just thinking of that scripture that helped me when to realize that God said, I wish that your whole spirit, soul, and body be blameless at the coming of the Lord. Like, it's, you know, he has them all in the same category. I was brought up in a church where, you know, the body, you know, isn't important. Well, God says, I wish that your whole spirit, soul, and body be blameless while we're still on the earth before heaven. So that really has blessed me through the years, and I'm conquering it inside of Christ. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Me too. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Well, y'all be praying for the country, and be praying also that the Lord would expose this evil, corrupt government that we've got from the top down, and also that he would either save them or replace them. And not only that, that God would scatter the enemy as far as this Black Lives Matter thing that we read about. That he would not allow this to go to any kind of fruition at all. That it would all be either done away with or be peaceful. So that's kind of where we are. Anybody got anything they'd like to add to be praying for?
I was going to read something on prayer, but I don't think there's enough time. It was from a guy that had been pulled out of the satanic realm and was saved, but he had some interesting things to say about our prayers and what he had seen when he was on the other side, how it affects the satanic realm and how Satan works against us on our prayers and how the fight we're up against and what our prayers look like when they're going up. So, but we'll do that another time.
Is that the one where the there's a wall up there, and then when you finally break through, it's light follows you around, or open heavens follow you around? Is that the one?
That's it. And I was actually thinking about this when I started reading through that. It dawned on me, all this chemtrail stuff, all these clouds are thrown over us. You know, I could see them trying to put a cloud cover on us and trying to inhibit our prayers if they could, but break through that and we maintain that. What you talked about being able to maintain that also.
Amen.
Then we're
yeah.
very powerful. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Do you mind doing that next time? Share
that'd
that
be
next
fine.
Time? 'Cause that'd be
I'm
great,
not gonna
man.
Read the whole. I won't read the whole thing, but I'll read in the power with the prayer and
okay.
how it works, and so we
yeah.
get an idea what we're fighting on and stuff. And you know, it's an eye opener. It doesn't necessarily mean this is gospel, but it kind of he hit some points on there I thought were pretty valid.
Amen. Well, all right. Anybody need any prayer before we close out? Well, Father, I thank you for tonight's conference call. I praise you, Lord, that you are warning us about these things that are fixing to happen and warning us in order for us to pray against them. And, Lord, I thank you that we don't have any fear. There's not going to be any fear that anything's going to happen to anybody. That's yours, Lord, that is obeying what you've asked them to do. And walking that walk, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're empowering everybody on this conference call and everybody that listens to the conference call to pray and to pray against the enemy and the things that they're trying to perpetrate in this United States, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that our prayers are going to be answered by you, Lord. Because you love us, Lord. We're doing everything we know how to do, Lord. to run after you and to read and renew our mind with the word, Lord. And we just praise you, Lord, for all that you are doing in us. And Lord, be with us, protect us, protect your chosen out there, get them in safe areas, Lord. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Give us a good night's sleep too, Lord. And we praise you for that, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, saints. God bless you.